Blog Talk Radio.
Without his spirit, it is impossible.
come into truth in his word, even if we think man has tried to mess with the Bible or with scriptures. It is the Holy Spirit that will lead us into all and all knowledge. So if man has tried to mess with something, it is the Holy Spirit which, whom we need to discern and to correct us and to guide us in the scripture. So we shouldn't worry about what man has done or if any mistakes are there. The Most High put a fail-safe in when he decided that he would give man his spirit. And it is by his spirit that we interpret scriptures. It's by his spirit that we come to understanding in the scriptures. And without his spirit, we cannot in and of ourselves come into understanding of the scriptures themselves. We are continuing in this lesson on this evening. So I want to say welcome to everyone, whether you're in Pal Talk, whether you're in Blog Talk, whether you've dialed in, whether you're signed in online into one of the meeting rooms, if you're listening to a live broadcast over the internet, we greet you in the master name of Yeshua HaMashiach. If you are in North America or South America, if you are on the African continent, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries that listen to this broadcast, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will, this is a class environment, so it's designed, we do questions and answers. I have some preset questions that we go through, and we look at them by the scriptures. If you have a question on anything that we're covering, you know, by all means, if you dialed into like the 516 number, then just press the number 1. It'll raise your hand, and I'll know that you have a question or a comment. If you are in the meeting room, then press, you know, or open up your mic and go ahead and, you know, and excuse me, but I have a question or what have you. Okay. If you are dialed into the 480 number, send me a text. You have my text by the phone number. Send me a text and say that you have a question, because if I open up your mic, this is going to cause an echo. But we want everyone to be able to participate, and we want, everyone to receive understanding via the word of the Most High. And I want you to say, Brother Miles said, show you in the word, and I'll just tell you, I don't know. It's that simple. I can't show you by the word of the Most High, then I'll just tell you I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to go off any pretense, or the question that you're asking may not be, you know, may not, if it's not in the scriptures, then, and the Most High has shown it to me, then you got to go to him yourself for it. That being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Toward the east is the direction of the sunrise. Do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am of the I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Messiah which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today, for truly our Elohim, our God, is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you on today, and we glorify you, Father. We lift you up and magnify your name. We adore thee, O Father, on this day. We give you all our adoration, and we extol thee and lift thee on. on high, for you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself, and there is no other that we will bow down to and give our praise and our worship to, Father, but it's to you and to you alone. You are Elohim, Father, you and you alone. There is no other. According to your word, we have to believe there is only one Elohim, and you are it, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just glorify you on today, and we lift you up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our verse for today, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Gotta believe this. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the believing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And that was Acts chapter verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim. That's why it's important in order to understand his word that you have his spirit. Doesn't matter what man says. Doesn't matter what man does. Doesn't matter if somebody mistranslated a word or a concept from the original to the English. So the matter is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that gives us understanding. It is he that gives us understanding. And so we have to know and believe that. And without his spirit, then we can't really come to truth in the scriptures. We can come to an understanding, but what we understand from the natural mind is totally different than what the Most High may have intended in his word. And so, yeah, can everybody come to an understanding? Yes. Does everybody come to truth? No. It is by his spirit. On last week, we talked about there is no scripture that is of private interpretation. And the scriptures tell us that if we are reading the scriptures without the Holy Spirit, then we have a private interpretation. It doesn't matter how many people believe the way that we believe. If we are interpreting the scriptures without the Ruach HaKodesh, we will come to an understanding. But it doesn't mean that we will come to truth. That's why we have like 30,000 different Christian denominations. Because different people read the Bible and they get different understandings. But how are you going to come to 30,000 different understandings of the same word? It is by design. It is by the way the Most High intended for it to be. He had the New Testament or the New Covenant written in such a way that it is to reveal what's in your heart. You'll read the scriptures. You'll read the word of the Most High. And you'll come to a certain understanding depending upon what's in your heart. And you'll believe that you are supposed to be a certain way because of what you've read and what's been revealed to you by his active word. And understand that his word is active. It goes out to accomplish what he sends it to accomplish, even when it's been translated. So you have to know and understand that. And it's by his spirit. The Most High wants you to know the truth in the word. He's going to give it to you by his spirit. This is how this precept lines up. This is how these lines line up. You can study the word on your own, but it is the Ruach HaKodesh that has to set the scriptures line upon line, precept upon precept for you. Without it, you will come to a quote-unquote carnal understanding. And as I said, we are in lesson 4, and we are, see if I loaded this up, think I reloaded these pages. Give me a hot second to pull this up on our screen. We're in lesson number 4, and we stopped in question number 6 in this lesson. And if you want a copy of this lesson, just email me, text me, or do whatever, and I'll send you a copy of it. Let me load this up. I have it here. Let's see. Let me check this before I start it to make sure that I had this up on the current screen. And then I'm going to open up the phone lines as well. Again, as I said, this is a classroom environment, this particular class. And it's designed for you to ask questions if you have them, make comments if you have them, you know, be respectful if you interrupt, excuse me, or raise your hand or do whatever. It's designed for that environment. It's designed, you know, for us to, and even if you got a question, if, you know, time permits, that is off topic, then, you know, this is that environment that I have set up for us to be able to do that, except for like when we're on Sundays, like a free-for-all on Sundays. But in this class, biblical questions, don't say you have to participate or you have to ask questions, but I'm going to open up your phone line. And if you have a question or a comment, feel free to jump in. Should our attitude or response be to the Word of Yah? You know, because many people look at the Bible as just a book. And then some of us will look at it as the Word of the Most High, but then it's not overall authoritative. If the Word of God says something in black and white, we will want to add to it. We'll want to second guess it. We'll want to understate it. And we really just need to let the Word of the Most High speak. Okay. And then what we don't understand, we ask the Most High to give us the understanding. Okay. Now, if you're in the classroom, and I'm controlling the on-screen, so don't scroll the screen for your purposes, okay? Don't scroll the screen for your purposes because I'm using it, okay? And we're supposed to pick this up with Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, through the Word of the Most High. Jeremiah, chapter 23, and verse 28. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? So in this verse, the prophet Jeremiah is comparing the Word of the Most High, somebody who has his word, to somebody who has dreams. And he gives dreams. Dreams come and go, and dreams are symbolic. Most dreams and vision are symbolic, and you need somebody to interpret them for you, or you need the Most High to interpret them for you. And so if somebody comes to you and says, I have a dream, or I had a dream, or a vision, you are not to put that dream or that vision over the Word of the Most High, the dream to chaff. His word to wheat. And he says, what is the chaff to the wheat? The chaff you throw away. The chaff gets burnt up. The chaff is temporary. But his word is forever. And so you are always to take his word over what somebody has dreamed or a vision they say that they have had. Okay. Now, if the Most High gives you a vision, that vision may be just for you. That dream may be just for you. If he goes and tells you to tell my people, and you do exactly what he tells you to do, and then, you know, he'll have to confirm it. But what is written? Messiah said it over and over again. It is written. So Torah and the prophets and the Psalms, Messiah quoted from just about all of them, those sections, and The bottom line is, he said, it is written. And it's given to us for that reason. And we can go to that. We can pick up on. It's concrete. It's permanent. And like I said, it doesn't matter what man tries to do. If the Most High wants you to know the truth of a matter, he will let you know the truth of the matter. He will either give it to you or send somebody to tell you. But you got to know that his word is forever and his word is permanent. So the dream is like hearing and gone. But his word is life. And that's how we should treat it. That should be our response to his word. Okay. That should be our attitude to his word. His word is forever. It is foundational. It is what we use to get our instruction from, to learn of his righteousness and how we should be. His word. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Again, what should be our response to the word of the Most High? Or what should be our attitude toward his word? Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. And let me pull this up in my Bible. Let me try to translate that word correctly. Acts chapter 4. Verses 29 through 31. And now, Yah, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that which with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Yeshua. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, and they spake the word of Elohim with boldness. Your attitude toward his word should be that you're going to speak it with boldness, but you will not speak the word of the Most High with boldness without his spirit. If you go back and you examine the lives of all the apostles, those that hung out with Messiah, those that he baptized, those that saw him rise from the dead. Prior to them seeing him rise from the dead, they were weak. They were unbelieving. They were lacked understanding. And it is after his resurrection and them being filled of the full of the Holy Spirit that they began to have understanding and speak. And after he taught them and began to speak the word with boldness. This is not something, the word of the Most High is not something that any of us should be ashamed of. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Something that you shouldn't be ashamed of. And if you know the truth that's in the word, then you should speak it by boldness. A lot of people don't like people being bold in this word. A lot of people don't like for somebody to just come right out and just say, you in sin. A lot of people don't like for somebody to come out and say, oh, you're going to the lake. But it's not the person saying it, it's the scripture saying it. And if they are truly in truth, they're supposed to be bold about it. Your salvation is of the utmost importance. Don't nothing else matter in this world. No amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of power. If you end up in the lake, if your destination is the lake of fire, and you know that's what it is, and that's what you want, oh, then go for it. Do the best you can do. But if you're not trying to end up in that lake of fire, then his word and your salvation is the most important thing that you could ever come across. I think the scripture says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or we might think that we know something. We might think that we have something. We might think we control something. The Most High says, what does all that good that any of that do you? If when you close your eyes for the final time, and when I wake you back up, your destination is torment. Because you refuse my word. Because you refuse to obey my word. What is important to you? For me, it's most important that I make it into his kingdom, not in the lake of fire either, on his good side. And so if his word is the mechanism that he has given us to do that by, then we have to believe it. We have to live by it. We have to obey it. You know, there's very few people that the Most High talks to directly. There's very few people that can say they've heard the voice of the Most High, that he has said something to them that they audibly heard. There's very few people that have had visions and dreams. Most people only have his word. Okay. Now, if you are on the line and you don't have a question or a comment, then I'm going to ask you, because I have all the lines open, if you will mute your end. That way we don't hear the background noise, or we don't hear, any comments in the background. If you have a question, then by all means. Okay, so boldness in his word. As a teacher, that's what the duty the Most High has assigned to me. I don't call myself a pastor, even though I might perform those duties. The Most High said, you are going to be a teacher. And that don't make me anything great. But my job is to tell you, to teach you. Can't make you believe it, can't make you do it. It's not my job to make you believe it or to make you do it. And the Most High had to show me that. Hey, it ain't your job. Your job is to plant this word or to water it. I'll give the increase. If I want them to understand, I'll give them understanding. If I don't want them to understand, you can't make them understand. It's all in his hands. He wants each of his children to cry out to him and to seek him. But then he gives us pastors and teachers and healers and help and governance who are, equipped to do these different jobs. And he may give you more than one job, okay? Whatever job he gives you, you need to do it with boldness. Not pridefulness, but boldness. Go to Acts chapter 8, the book of Acts chapter 8, and let's get verse 25, which should be your response to the word of the Most High. Acts chapter 8, verse 25, they, when they had testified and preached the word of Yah, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. You should be wanting to tell people what the Most High has done for you. You should be wanting to share this gospel with them. Because it is good news. There is hope. There is life after this life. Let me get a verse real quick, and I want everybody to go look it up. When you come to these classes, you should also have your Bible, and you should be following along in the scripture. Okay. I'm going a little bit off. I get the right verse here. Go to Matthew chapter 25 real quick. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. And let's get verse 46. Now, this is going to be the end of everybody. One of these groups. The group that he's talking about right now, they didn't try to feed the hungry. They didn't try to, you know, take care of anybody that was less fortunate than themselves, those that have hit hard spots in the earth. Okay. So he says in verse 44, then shall they also answer him and say, Lord or Master, when saw we thee in hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, some of the least of your brethren, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. The Most High cares for those who are needy in society. And we might say, oh, they did something to earn that. It's not your business. It's not your business how they got there. If they're drug addicts and you know they're drug addicts, then you can't help them but to a certain degree. But if you know that they are not doing things that, or you don't know what their circumstance is, you can't see if they're strung out, whatever the case may be. You never know a lot of the people that you see up under bridges today in laying in boxes and in those types of cities they're veterans of the United States military. Get back and can't cope with society. You know, there's only so much you can see. See somebody's head get blown off. Or your friend, one second he was there, next second he wasn't. Or you're in a firefight and you go shooting and you shoot up into something and find out you hit this little baby. Those types of things affect you. So you never know who you're looking at. You never know. Somebody came down with some illness, weren't able to work anymore, got thrown on the street because, you know, they couldn't work. Wouldn't work. They can't work. And society says, hey, we ain't got nothing for you. So you never know who you're running into. It's not up to you to be the judge and the jury. Because when did you see them, you know, you saw that man naked. Didn't try to offer him no clothes. Just looked at him and said, man, that fool crazy. Something must be wrong with him. Well, you know something wrong with him. He naked. Any person in their sound mind ain't going to be out there naked. So something is going on. You don't know the end story. For all of us who won't help, in the judgment, you're going to go away into everlasting punishment. That's the lake of fire. But the righteous, those that will help, because that's what the Most High requires, into life eternal. That means that you're going into, you're either going to receive 100-fold of everything you gave up, plus the crown of life, or you're going to receive a throne, plus everything, 100-fold of everything you gave up, or more so. There are different levels in the kingdom of the Most High. And based upon your work and what you've done in this life, it's how he rewards you in the next. So you might not care about those things, but evidently it means something. For us, the Most High would not have had it written. It's important. There are levels even in his society. Okay. So We want to be able to give people the gospel. He says, I would not that anyone should perish. But the most people are going to perish. Most people are not going to make it into his kingdom. Why? Because they refuse to do what he has had written. They refuse to tremble at his word, and that's one I needed to bring up. You got to respect the Most High so much that you tremble at transgressing his word. You got to be afraid of being disobedient. You're never going to come to the standard at which he would like and what he wants and what he's going to accept of his people if you don't tremble at his word. If it doesn't scare you to transgress, I'm just here to tell you, it's not the Most High that's got the problem, it's you. It's not the Most High that's going to suffer in the end. He ain't suffering now, but it's going to be you. You know, so if we don't believe these things, can't believe some of them, can't believe part of them, can't pick and choose what we want to believe out of his word. Because he said all scripture given by the inspiration of Elohim. So you can't pick and choose what you want to believe or not believe. You can do that, but it's going to be you that suffers for it. You know, every person has to save themselves. Each one of us. Okay. So let's go to the book of Acts chapter 10. What were the Gentiles' response or attitude toward the word of the Most High? You know, Israel received the word, and for the most part, not all of Israel, but for the most part of Israel, they rejected the word. Didn't put it in their heart. It didn't become part of their being. They didn't keep his word by faith. They didn't try to do better. Because, you know, we were talking on Sunday, and I made this statement, and I'll make it here again. The law of the Most High is good and it's righteous. Laws were written to give us his minimum standard. His minimum standard, not his maximum standard. His minimum standard. This is the minimum you got to do to get into the kingdom. It's not the maximum you can do. But if you do this, you'll make it in. He says, that's why he says, if the righteous are scarcely saved. If the righteous are scarcely saved, because the righteous are keeping his laws, his statutes, his commandments. But there's degrees in keeping that. And it is written, the Torah is written to the minimum standard. So if you get a job and you come to work every day and you do what it is that they taught you to do, and that's all you do, you're meeting the minimum standards of the job. You're not exceeding. You're not doing above and beyond. But the minimum. And that's the way this word is written. If you keep all the law, if you do everything that is written in it, you are meeting his minimum standards, and he will account it to you as righteousness of great saints. You have to obey and go above and beyond. We talk about the weightier matters of the law. How much you care for your fellow citizens. How much you care for the homeless, the fatherless, and the widow. Do you make sure that those who are wanting don't want. Or should I say it another way? Those who are in need. Do you go above and beyond? That's why it says you can keep all the law. And you still could not, and still, based upon that, it doesn't change the situation that you're a sinner. And it's fire. You need to be changed out of that state. So Acts chapter 13, because the Gentiles were without hope in the world. They were worshiping false gods. They were doing everything contrary to the Most High. And he used and still will use Israel to bring salvation, the message of salvation, to the Gentile nation. When Israel understands that, you know, hey, yeah, I got to be a doer of this thing. And I got to believe in Messiah. This is what Israel was chosen for. Okay. Almost went off in another direction. Not going to go there. Acts 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. What had they heard? The gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They can come out of their sin nature and come into a right relationship with the creator of the world. When they heard it, they were glad and glorified the word of Yah. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The Most High is accepting so many out of the Gentile nation. He's accepting so many out of Israel. Matter of fact, got so bad for Israel, the Most High says, I'm just going to take the remnant. There's going to be a remnant. Though the seed of Jacob be as the sands of the sea, I'm going to save a remnant. That's not a whole lot. So let's put it this way. And I'm not saying this is an exact number, but this should show you the representation. If the seeds of Abraham or Jacob are as the sea in number, and I'm only going to save a remnant, that might be one beach worth. One beach out of all the beaches in the world. That's how bad Israel has messed up with the Most High. A remnant. And because the Gentiles want to reject Israel and they want to boast against the natural branches, only a remnant of them are going to be saved too. A remnant. Okay. But when you hear this word, and when they heard it, they were glad. That should be your response and your attitude towards salvation. You should be glad. Because the Most High didn't have to do it. He could have just said, all of y'all are in sin, all of y'all are in transgression, and all of y'all are deserving of death. That's all I'm going to give you is death. He could have done that, but he didn't. So when you hear the gospel, and that there's a way to make up with the creator of everything, then you should be glad. And in that gladness, you should act on it. Not just in words or either, but by your deeds. You should do what he tells you to do. Acts chapter 17. Go to Acts chapter 17, and I think in this one I want to start in verse 1 to get the context. Acts chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 11. Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 1, through 11. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis, Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days reason, and with them out of the Scriptures. So he went in there three Sabbaths and reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Messiah or Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Yeshua or Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Now, if you listen to any of the previous lessons, you know that Christ is not a who, but a what. So when we say Jesus the Christ, Christ was not Messiah's last name. It is a title, and it has a meaning behind it. And that meaning is the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. So Yeshua is the power and the wisdom of Elohim, God, unto salvation. And he is the means that the Most High offered salvation to mankind. So just like he caused Moses to split the rock in the wilderness to bring salvation to Israel, that was Christ. It was not a person. It was the power and the wisdom of Elohim to save his people. So he told Moses, hit the rock. The rock split, and it was a flint rock, a rock that you would hit and get fire out of. He hit and water came out of it. And that rock followed them all through the wilderness. How it did that, you have to ask the Most High. But Christ is the power and the wisdom of Elohim, God, unto salvation. Messiah was the bodily form of that salvation, and it came and suffered and was hang on a tree for our salvation. This is the means by which the Most High offered salvation to his people, to the world. So know that Christ is not a last name. The title. And anything that the Most High uses to bring about salvation to his people would be a type of Christ. Messiah. So he's preaching this to the Gentiles. And he's going in, these Gentiles are in the synagogue. They are amongst the Hebrews or the Jews. Okay? And some of them believed, verse 4, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. And there are a lot of women. But in the Greek society, women held a lot of power. And there's a lot of women. Now, does that remind us of the church today? Deal with a lot of women? Sure does. It's the same way back then. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them a certain lewd fellow of the baser sort. These are, you know, your criminal elements, those that you can pay and they will lie. They will say what you want them to say, the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So, you know, if you're gonna have issues, you're gonna always be with your own people. It wasn't the Gentiles that were having an issue with this. It wasn't the Gentiles who got these Lewis fellows and said, hey, we'll pay you X amount. We want you to, you know, start lying and making an uproar and saying that, you know, he's and that and the other. you know, just upsetting people. And when they found them out, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down and are come here also." They telling people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're telling people that we're going to be resurrected from the dead. They're telling people there was a man that healed people and did all these things, and we don't see none of it. Just causing a fuss. So much that the people mobbed up and came and got these people, some of these brethren, out of this brother Jason's house, and took them to the rulers of the city. These men are turning the world upside down. They're going against all our philosophies. They're talking this and that and the other, whom Jason had received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Now, when Paul was in Jerusalem, you know, they accused him of preaching against Caesar. When Messiah was walking the earth, they accused him of preaching against Caesar. Talking about a whole different type of kingdom. Don't want to obey the natural leaders in this world. They're telling us to revolt against you. Saying there is another king, one Yeshua. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason, meaning that they got him under lock and key, and the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, the ones at Thessalonica, what was their attitude toward the world, toward the word of the Most High, and toward Messiah? They're saying, we got another king. They're turning the world upside down. But these are receiving the word with readiness of mind. And they search the scriptures daily. Why? Whether these things were so. Is this in the scriptures? Is this prophesied of? Searched it out. Therefore, many of them believed. Also the honorable women, which were the Greeks of the men, not a few. So the Gentiles heard the word, and they received it gladly in this was Berea, but the ones in Thessalonica, they had a total unbelief, but the Jews, now who caused this? The Jews. We don't want them Gentiles in our belief, in our nation. Salvation is through the Hebrew Israelite alone. We got some Hebrews that believe that today. Truth of the matter is, the Most High said he would take up of the Gentiles, a people for himself. And those that he has preordained to do it, they will believe the word gladly and keep it in faith. Enemy has always been our own people. Go to 2 Timothy. So you should receive the scriptures. Search them out daily. To see whether what you are being told is true. You should receive it with readiness of mind. It out. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto men. No. Approved unto God, unto Elohim. That's whose approval you need. You ain't got nothing to prove to Brother Miles. Brother Miles ain't got nothing to prove to you. Who Brother Miles got to prove himself to is the Most High. Who you got to prove yourself to is the Most High. He is the judge. So if you run around here trying to please men and trying to prove yourself to men, you got a problem. Study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing it. There's only one way you can rightly do it, and that's by his spirit. By his spirit. That's why he says, I'm going to give my spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody don't receive his spirit. Everybody can't rightly divide the word. I don't care how much you study. Without his spirit, you cannot rightly divide it. You come to a truth, or you'll come to some knowledge. I'll put it that way. You'll come to some understanding. Only by his spirit do you come to the truth. He has to give it to you. Let's get verse 16 as well. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Profane and vain babbling. These are the works of men's minds. You know, this is what I think. If God were God, he'd do this. I can't serve a God who would do that. I believe things ought to be this way when your beliefs are contrary to what the word of the Most High says. Just babbling. That person babbling. Don't really have a clue. Will take their opinion over the word of the Most High. You got to meditate on it. The whole word of the Most High. And then you got to go to him for understanding. You got to go to him for guidance. He gives us teachers to help us along the way. But when it's something that we find ourselves truly in conflict with and truly in and misunderstanding or lack of understanding, then we need to take that to the Most High, saying, for the life of me, I just don't get it. Help me, please. And he will. I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm telling you something I know for a fact. He will. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. What should your response or attitude be toward the word of the Most High? So you should study it. Showing yourself approved unto him. Not unto men, but unto him, unto the Most High. Got to meet his standards. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. You know, the scripture simply saying, the Most High simply says, he's not looking for hearers of his word only, but doers of them. Messiah is saying the same thing. Whosoever hears these things, these words of mine, and does them. Messiah is not looking for those people who read and hear his word and don't act upon it and don't do it. Talk about it. And even repeat it, but when it comes down to doing it, they're just hearers of his words, but they're not doers of his words. The Most High don't love them. Yeah, I said it. I'll say it again. The Most High does not love them. The Most High loves those that obey his word, those that are doers of his word, not hearers of it and then be disobedient, but those that hear and obey. I love them that love me. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll obey my word. Show him that we love him, that we obey his word, obey his voice. That's who he loves. Anybody that don't obey him is an enemy. Not the words of Brother Miles. The Most High said it. Even in the New Testament, the scripture says, hey, if you sin, or if you willfully sin after you've come into the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more blood for you. Because you willfully sin. And then you make yourself his adversary. An adversary is your enemy. You got baptized in his name and then made yourself an enemy all over again. Because you chose to be disobedient. You are not my friend. You're my enemy. We have to know that and believe that. Most High is looking for those who obey, who will do what he said for. So your reaction to his word should be that you're going to do them. You're not just going to be a hearer of them, but you're also going to be a doer of them. That should be your reaction. Go to James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. And we're going to get verses 22 and 23. James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because if you think you can be a hearer of this word and not a doer of it, and it's going to be enough to get you into the kingdom, that's going to be enough to get you out of the wrath of the Most High, you have deceived yourself. Think that the Most High is going to continually forgive you for willful sin. You have deceived yourself. Because you're mocking the Most High. Most High, I know you said that's wrong, but I love doing it, so I'm going to do it and just ask your forgiveness. You just got to forgive me. So who do you think you're talking to? I ain't never did that. And you're not going to be the special occasion. Doers of the word and not hearers only, not discussers only, not want to debate the scriptures all the time but don't do them. It's really you're into self-deception. You're in self-denial. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goeth his way. What manner of man he was. The scriptures are designed to show you that you were a sinner, unrighteous. It's when you become a doer of the word that you become a righteous person. And when you are a hearer of the word only, it's like you looked in the mirror and you were white and said you were black, or you were black and said you were white. Saw what you wanted to see. Forgot what manner of person you were. You were a liar. You were a murderer. You were a thief. You were a fornicator. You were an adult. You were whatever. But you looked at yourself in the mirror and said, you know what? You a good person. You all right. It's going to be okay. Maybe in your eyes, but in the eyes of the Most High, I told you not to do those things, and you are not a doer of my word. Any questions on what we've covered so far? What should be your reaction to the word of the Most High? No question? Okay. Hold on, Sister Mary. I think you were saying you had a question. Wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out why you're so low. Is my speaker low? Huh, yeah. I'm like, why does she sound so distant? Try it now.
I said that I think that we should all be excited. I know I'd be excited about the word of Bob.
Amen. We should all be excited all the time, even when it points out our, what, deficiencies?
Yeah.
Because it's teaching us how to be right with the Most High.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a rock gets thrown and hits you in the head, be happy it hits you in the head so that you can get healed.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Amen.
The next time you know the duck.
Next time you know if you got a rock thrown at you, you better straighten up. Or else no, you wouldn't be getting rocks thrown at you. I'm out ducking. Ooh-wee. No, we ain't supposed to be trying to avoid. We are, you know, if we get hit by the word of the Most High, it's because we are in need of what? Changing in that area?
Yeah.
And we
well, love to...
Amen. Amen.
I love.
All right, so let's move on to the next question then. What does the Bible refer to as our spiritual food? What does the Bible refer to as our spiritual food? Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, and we're going to get verse 1. Brother Gary, I think you sleep. Snoring. Let me mute you back up. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Yeshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, let's keep going with that. We can't stop with that verse because he says some things in this chapter that we have to be mindful of. So we're going to read a little bit here. Then was Yeshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now you got to ask yourself, why would the Most High allow the devil to tempt Messiah? Because this is what the devil's job is. And he tells you, resist the devil and he will what?
Flee.
All you got to do is resist him. He'll run. But his job is to show what's in you. That's what his job is. You can't be tempted by nothing that's not in you. You think Messiah didn't really want to be in his place, throne with all the kingdoms of the world at his feet? And here he is in the what? Subservient position. Satan knew what he already was, but Satan wanted to see, hey, why you where you at? You willing to come on this side? I'll give it to you right now. So these things that he's tempting him with, don't think these thoughts didn't come across Messiah's mind. But he's showing you how to deal with them. That he was tempted at all sides, yet he did not what?
Sin.
He didn't sin. So we got to understand that. You can have the thought. It's what you do with it. So let's continue to read. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is what?
Written.
It was said. Somebody said it. No, he wants us always to, it is written. Always. That's what we are, this word was given to us for. He went back and fell on the word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Elohim. I don't need any bread. I can live off the word. I've already been living off of it for 40 days. I don't need any meat. His disciples never got this. He says, my meat, what I live off of, what nourishes me is my desire to do the will of my Father. Wanting to complete what he sent me here to do. I have to find that verse for you. My meat, my sustenance. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Elohim. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yeshua said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt Yah thy Elohim. You got a lot of people running around here trying to call it faith. But if the Most High tells you it's common sense not to do something, then you don't what? You don't do it. Don't say, well, God got me. He'll protect me in this. You better put that mask on. Don't be tempting me. Because then if I don't come to your aid, then you're going to be talking about, people are talking about, I thought God had you. I got him, but I told him to put that mask on. Say, again, the devil takes them up into a high exceeding, up into exceeding high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And says unto him, all these things will I give to you. Now, this is where a lot of people don't realize that their wealth and their power and their authority comes from. What did he just offer him?
Power, wealth,
authority. Satan has it to give. He couldn't tempt him with it if he didn't have it to give. I'll give you all these things. And a lot of people get those things from that side of the house. And how do you know they get it from that side of the house? Because they're not following the Most High. They're not keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments. They're not obeying his voice. So who do you think they're obeying? Who do you think they're being rewarded by?
Okay.
There you go. Verse 10. Then saith Yeshua unto him, get thee hence. Get away from me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yah thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. Did he resist the devil?
Yes, he did.
And what did he do? Then the devil what? Leaves him. Anytime a temptation comes to you, all you got to do is use the word of the Most High. Satan will leave you alone. Well, this one knows the truth. This one believes what they read and they do it. He's got to flee. He's got to go. Anytime you give in to that temptation, then you just gave the devil. And a lot of times, I'm just about to admit to you, it ain't even the devil. It's the enemy in you, yourself. Because you wanted that thing. But if it ain't you, and it really is Satan, all you got to do is resist him. But if it's even in you, then all you got to do is resist yourself. I know that ain't right. I don't know why I'm thinking that. I know I shouldn't be wanting that, but I do. You got to resist yourself. All right. So we got to do what Messiah did. Resist the devil. Did Messiah use his own word straight out? Did he come out and say, I said this?
Nope.
What did he say? It is written. And you got to use what's written. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, what I have found is that most people coming into this word, most people who've been in this word a minute, what they want is they want the weightier matter of things. They want the mysterious. They want to know the unknown stuff. They want to know the secret. But you should be desiring the sincere milk of the word. That's what this class is designed around. The sincere milk. People coming as babes wanting a steak. Ain't got now tooth in their mouth. Wanting a steak. When they need milk. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk that you may grow thereby. The sincere milk of the word. The fundamentals of the word. How do I get saved? How do I stay saved? who is the Holy Spirit? How do I live a righteous life? How do I become a doer of the word? How do I increase my faith? The milk of the word. Who should I be taking care of? How should I be doing it? Instead, we want to get caught up in all these different numerologies and astrologies and all this stuff that ain't going to help you get into the kingdom, ain't going to help you stay in the kingdom. There's a time and a place for all of it. But you got to first make sure that you have the milk before you try to take meat. And I've talked to so many saints, and when it comes to the milk of the word, they are sorely lacking. Sorely lacking in it. And then wonder why their walk is so shaky. Wonder why they're having problems falling in and out of sin. Wondering why, you know, I got baptized, but I don't feel no different.
Yeah.
Because the right expectation was never set. So forth and so on. You need the sincere milk of the word. Have the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, but don't know how to keep them. Any questions or comments on that question?
No.
All right, let's keep moving then. Why should believers treasure the word of Yah? Why should we treasure the word of Yah? Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. To the word of the Most High, so that you don't what? Sin against him. Because his word teaches you how not to sin against him. How not to transgress. How not to offend him. I don't think a lot of people are concerned about That really is the biggest issue. Not a lot of people are worried about offending the Most High. I don't really believe that it's a real big concern of a lot of people. And then by the time that they come to him and realize that, hey, I've been walking in transgression and been offending all this time, then a lot of guilt won't let them accept. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's why you should treasure it, because the word teaches us how not to offend and how to please the Most High. Go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of Yah abideth in you. You have overcome the wicked one. You should treasure the Most High's word because it teaches you how to overcome the wicked one. How to not live for him. How to not let him or his demons have an access point or rulership in your life. You can resist him and he will flee. You resist him not by your words, but by the word of the Most High. It is written about you and your word. What he does care about is you using the word of the Most High on him. But you know, he absolutely has to abide by that. You try to use your words, you're like, Jesus, I know. Sister Mary, I know, but who are you? Let's go. Go to Acts chapter 19. The book of Acts chapter 19. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
We're going to start, we're going to go down to show you this transgression of the saints. Transgression. That's not the word I want to use. The progression of this. Okay. We got Paul. And he's traveling, and he's going through the upper coast. And he comes to Corinth, the city in Corinth. Okay, Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Now, who did he find? Certain disciples, right? We don't know who disciples these are. We don't know if these, he's talking about Messiah's disciples. John's disciples, Paul's disciples, finding certain disciples, having said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as what? We ain't heard about this thing. What you talking about, a Holy Ghost? Talking about. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. So whose disciples are these? John's disciples. Okay. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they heard what Paul said. Paul said, hey, John was told there was another. John said that there was another coming after him, and you should follow him. John's disciples, John is dead. He's been beheaded. They believe Paul, and so they get rebaptized. They had already been baptized by John. And but John wasn't preaching the Holy Ghost. John was preaching what? Repentance. So his disciples had not heard about the Holy Spirit. But when they heard, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus or in Yeshua HaMashiach. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, question here. These are John's disciples. John was preaching the gospel of repentance to Israel. So these are what? Jews, right?
Right.
What need did they have to speak in tongues?
To prove that they had received the Holy Spirit.
To prove that they had received the Holy Spirit. They were no different than anybody else. Okay? So we know. Do you think that Paul was speaking to them in Hebrew or Aramaic? One of those languages of the day. They're Hebrews. He's having a normal conversation with them, right?
Right.
I mean, verses 1 through 5, you have to assume he's speaking to them. We're going to say, now, and I'm not saying this is the language, okay? I'm making an example. He's speaking to them in English. Just like I'm speaking to you in English, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you understand. Then I lay hands on you and you start speaking in a language that you don't know. Now, the Most High may have given me the gift of interpretation. I have to have it because I understand that you are magnifying the Most High and prophesying. So I understand what you're saying. But they're not speaking in English. They're not speaking in Hebrew. They're speaking in a tongue that they weren't taught. signs that the Holy Spirit has accepted them. They've been filled. Because other than that, there is no way to tell that the Holy Spirit, that you received the Holy Spirit. You don't float up in the air. Lightning don't start shooting from your fingers and your eyes. So the Most High gave this sign, you start speaking in tongues. You start speaking in a language that wasn't born to you, that you didn't learn in school. And all of the men were about 12. So John's disciples, they hear the gospel, they believe, Paul lays hands on them, and they start speaking in tongues. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom. And when divers were heard, and when divers were hardened, different ones were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. How many people we got out there speaking against speaking in tongues? A lot of people. And you think they didn't do it back here? They did the same thing. Because not understanding it, you a barbarian. That's of the devil. Because they never had that experience. But when different ones hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And Elohim wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, worked special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews. Now, who are these vagabond Jews? These are actually members of the high priest family, the high priest in Jerusalem, in the temple. Okay? These are some of the brothers who ain't received the Holy Spirit yet. But I know the word of God. And we the people of the book. So if you can cast out demons, we can cast them out. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, these are traveling Jews, exorcists, took unto them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were 7 of us, a Jew, chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Yeshua I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You trying to tell me what to do? And I don't see no Holy Spirit in you. I don't see no authority. I don't see no power. I'm about to kick off in your dust. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house. He beat them so bad he beat their clothes off of them. That's what it says. They flew out of the house naked. Not just naked and wounded. When you try to do spiritual things without the authority of the Most High, you are no match for Satan. You are no match for his demons. And you're not going to be coming from the word of the Most High. You're going to be coming from your own word. These sons of Sceva had to learn that the hard way. They were even invoking the name of who? I hear you calling his name, but I don't see the Holy Spirit in you. So let's get it on. So So we want to make sure that we are dealing with authority. You have the power to overcome the wicked one when you are filled with the Ruach and you are using the word of the Most High. There is nothing too hard. There is no demon in hell that can stand up to you. Satan is the chief demon. If he's going to flee, what do you think is that his little minions going to do? They're going to flee too. We got to get out of here. All right. We're going to skip question number 9 because we've already more or less did that one. Let's go down to question number 10. This is critical to everybody, you know, because this really is what everything is based upon. How do we prove that we love HaMashiach? How do we prove that we love him? Let's go to John chapter 14, the book of John chapter 14. Let's get verse 21. John chapter 14 and verse 21. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. He that has my commandments and kind of do them, it is he that loves me.
No.
He that has my commandments and can repeat them to people, but don't do them, it's he that loves me.
No.
He that has my commandments and shall do them. He it is that loves me. He that keeps them. Keep them by doing them. It is he that loves me. You can't say you love Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach and then don't obey him. They don't go together. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'll show myself to him. I'll appear to him. I'll be with him in dreams and visions. I'll fill him with the Ruach HaKodesh. John chapter 14, let's go to verse 15. If you love me, do what?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. If you love me, John chapter 15 and 10. 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. How do you abide in his love? By disobeying his commandments.
No.
Not keeping his law. Not doing his judgment.
That's keeping his commandments, his law and judgment.
Amen. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Hold on, I want to find another scripture. Give me a hot second. I apologize, bear with me. I need to find this particular verse. Chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to get verses 1 through 5. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And when you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him. How do we know that we know him? If we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a what?
A liar.
And the truth is not in him. So if you say you know him and you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. Let's go back to the lesson. That was the verse I wanted to add in there. How is the love of Yah perfected? In the believer. In a believer. We just read it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. The word in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You know that you're in him if you keep his commandments. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. He doesn't change from the old to the new. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that Yah thy Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. You can say you love the Most High, but if you don't keep the commandments, he's not going to show mercy on you. He's not going to have mercy on you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Shall remember all the way which Yah thy Elohim led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. The Most High will test you to prove you. What it means by proving you, let me see if they will do what I say do or not. Whether they're going to keep my commandments or not. And how did he prove them? 3 verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He let them get hungry to see how they were going to act. And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah does man live. Chapters. Thy raiment, shall clothes, wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now imagine walking through the wilderness 40 years. And your clothes don't wear out. Your shoes don't wear out, and your feet never swole up.
Right.
Because he was keeping you. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4. Now, he's telling this to Israel. If he's the God of Israel and he's offering salvation to Israel and he's offering salvation to mankind, what makes anybody that's not Israel believe that they don't have to keep his commandments? They don't have to keep his laws. Think that they're living by another standard. He gave them the standard he wanted them to live by. because let me ask this question. You are being asked to become a member of a prestigious club, and you want to become a member of it, but the requirements are complex. And nobody has told you all of the requirements or all the rules. But every time you break one, the standard is every time you break a rule, they break a finger. But nobody won't tell you the rules. And so every time you break a rule, they break a finger. Most High says, does the Most High break a finger every time you break a rule? What is it? If you break one of his rules, what's the penalty?
Yeah.
It ain't breaking your finger, it's death. And all right, I know you don't know all the rules. I'm not going to give you death if you transgress ignorantly because you don't know. But to come into my kingdom, this is what I want you to do. So here's the minimum things I want you to do to come in. After you come in, I want you to learn the rest of them. But you don't want to learn the rest of them because you feel like, hey, these right here are hard enough. This is what the church and the Gentiles have done with his word. We just want to stay away from meat strangled. They ain't even staying away from fornication.
No.
How much unmarried sex do you think going on in this country right now?
Too much.
That's mainly what's going on. Mainly what's going on. Stay away from fornication. Don't worship no other gods. So that's the minimum that I want. The rest of it, you'll learn over time. So if you sin against me ignorantly, once you learn that it's a sin, if you confess that I am too unjust to forgive you because you were doing it ignorantly. But once you know that you ain't supposed to be doing it, should you stop?
Yes.
Just stop. And not keep using it as an excuse. Well, you know, I'm just a human.
Yeah.
No, that's not the way how he operates. Not how he ever operated. Deuteronomy 13 and 4. You shall walk after Yahweh Elohim and fear him. Everybody should underline fear him. Because it's the fear of him that is the beginning of all wisdom. Fear him. And keep his what?
Amen.
Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Now, he's given Israel everything that should make, excuse me, it's supposed to make them successful with him. You better fear me, because I do terrible things. I'll kill 1,000 of y'all in a heartbeat. And he told them too many times, I have all y'all butts hanging out. Y'all think y'all got it bad now? Wait till you walk around here with hemorrhoids. He does some things that just, you know, they'll mess you up. Ain't nothing like you can't sit down with your butt hanging out. Can't go to the bathroom because your butt hanging out. And the Most I said, yeah, I did that to you. Because you were disobedient. I didn't want to kill you this time. Next time, you just might walk outside and an arrow fly from nowhere and just fall on you. Some little kid playing in the yard shot an arrow straight up. The wind caught it, it came down and killed you. And the Most High said, yeah, that wasn't by happen chance. I guided that arrow to you. I do terrible things. Next time it rains, your house floods out. The roof blows off of it. Well, that was just a freaky storm. We don't give the Most High credit where, you know, because we don't think he's that much involved in our lives. But he is. You made that left-hand turn with the signal on, and somebody mistakenly ran through their red light and hit you and killed you. It was an accident for the other person, but the Most High said, I intended to kill you. Deuteronomy 28:45. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28:45. We're at 54. Let's finish these up. How many do I got here? Nope, we ain't going to be able to finish all these. We're going to do two, and then we're going to call it a night. We'll pick it up here next week. Deuteronomy 28:45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearken not unto the voice of Yah your Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. We be wondering why stuff be happening, and, you know, a lot of people still today, a lot of our own people who are, you know, ex-slaves in this country, still don't realize why we're going through the things we're going through. While we're still being pursued, while we still can't seem to just get up, while it seems like everybody is against us. We're part of the curse. And they will still pursue you until they overtake you. And they're pursuing us as a people because as a people, we disobeyed the Most High.
Yeah.
Got scattered. And the curses are still pursuing our people. From generation to generation. Because you hearken not to the voice of Yah, your Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded us. Our people want to know what's the cure for us. It's real simple. We ain't got to get into all these different things about all these little things that's going happening with us as a people. Want it all to stop, turn back to the Most High. Keep the commandments. Obey his voice. And watch the slate flip. Watch the script flip. But most of us don't even want to believe we're the people of the book. Don't want to believe that this is talking about us as a people. And still want to complain about why we're going through what we're going through. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 10. Yah, to the voice of Yah thy Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he has written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's what we have to do. We want to be fixed as a people. We want to get rid of all the drug problems, the money problems, the sin problems, the people killing us without a cause, all that stuff. We want it to go away and be flipped. All we got to do is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10. Listen to the voice of Yah thy Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes. Turn toward him with all our heart, not with a piece of us, but with all our heart. Our life depends upon this. If we turn to him that way, watch the script flip. All right, let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for your word, Father, that we are glad that you gave us your word, that you had it written down, that we don't have to go by word of mouth, somebody misquoting you all the time, telling what they think was said. Father, you made it available that we could go get it and read it for ourselves. And if we have your spirit, Father, if there is an error in the scriptures, you will show us. You will reveal it, and you will give us the truth. You will guide our path. Father, it's not anything that we should be concerned about, but that we will obey your voice. In the day we hear your voice, we should not harden our hearts towards you, but that we should turn and run to you.
Amen.
Father, if there be any that don't know you in this way, Father, give them an unction, tug on their heart. Father, give them nightmares until they come to you. That they will turn towards you and toward life and turn away from death. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, we will pick this up next week. Newcomers, we are in, let me quote this so I can go back and listen to it. Question number 11. And we will be starting with Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. And the question is, how is the love of Yah perfected in the believer? Okay. We obey his voice, and his word will be perfected in us. On Thursday night, the business meeting, all those who attend, we will have business to conduct, so please be there. Friday, Sabbath, I think the Most High was putting it on my heart to do something in the effect of, what would you give to lose your soul? What good does it give you to gain the whole world and what?
Lose your soul.
So I think it will be somewhere in that light right now, unless Yah says differently. I have to get back into the spirit to remember exactly and be reminded of exactly what he was telling me to do. Maybe something in that light, in that vein, because we've got too many people that prioritize too many other things other than the Most High in their life, other than his kingdom. And they will lose their soul in the lake of fire, pursuing those things and making the wrong things a priority in their life. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. All I can do is show you what thus saith Yah Elohim. Fear Yah and keep the commandments. Thanks. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. of times. All I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Shalom,
Brother Miles.
Shalom, my sisters and my brothers.
Shalom.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Sister Mary, Sister Lori told me to tell you she got hit with a rock.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
she
know better now,
I guess. Amen. All right, shalom, everyone. Enjoy your evening.
Shalom.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Amen, Brother Gary. Amen.
Amen, Brother Gary.
Peace and blessings.
Hallelujah.
I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm about to do it. All right. Peace and blessings, Brother Gary. Shalom.
Jesus.